This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. And so, and we're just going to go right back to your phone calls and thoughts. Dave Ridley, Dave from New Hampshire, you're on Free Talk Live. Dave is of, RidleyReport.com. I almost said libertyreport.com. What's on your mind, Dave?
How much do you guys know about Lori Ortolano of Nashua?
I have no idea who that is. Also, we have nobody back with us. Sorry for a second there. I don't know what happened. Our Jitsi room had turned off, so welcome back, nobody. Sorry about that.
So Lori is a middle-aged, middle-class, or maybe well-to-do Nashua resident who's been in conflict with the city of Nashua for a while. I think a few years ago they arrested her for being in a Nashua government office and allegedly refusing to leave because she wanted to get some paper, you know, so she was doing a right to know request and trying to get her right to know request filled.
Okay.
And since then, some things have happened with her case that have got her back in the spotlight. So I guess her case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it ordered the city of Nashua to hand over some assessment records that she was trying to get and was having trouble getting from Nashua.
Oh, this is interesting. This is a road I'm going to go down here pretty soon with actually, we're going to do this with a few towns simultaneously with some people to where we do right-to-know requests to the assessor's office for, first off, their process and procedure to put a tax levy on property, attractive land that is private property with a home that is not commercial manufacturing or anything like that. And which, from what I understand, there is no procedure to put a tax levy on private property. All the tax levy statutes and procedures are exclusively for commercial and industrial properties. And then also the other thing is, you know, where is the instrument, a public record request for the instrument that bears my signature where I knowingly and willingly agree to fund the teachers, pay for these public employee pension funds, you know, all the things that your tax, your property tax goes for that you're essentially forced to do. I don't believe these towns have an authority to collect a tax, but I don't think anything happens until you really challenge them with the public records request. But go on, Dave.
Yeah, you know, New Hampshire has a right to know law, and you're supposed to be able to get papers from the government that you request. But she's claiming that they've been redacting stuff that they give her. She's claiming they will sometimes just flood her with, here, you wanted that email? Well, here's that email, plus the 1,000 pages of attachments that came with it. Or you know, maybe not necessarily quite that much, but she's just claiming there's this volume issue.
So it's, like, hidden in there?
And, well, she... Yeah, I'm not sure, but she has since she won at the Supreme Court, things have not necessarily been going her way, despite the win. So she is suing she's reopening a lawsuit against the city of Nashua now. So So there's, I think, at least three issues. It's a right to know lawsuit, a contempt of court lawsuit, and she's filing, trying to file a, or she's either filing or trying to file a protective order against the city of Nashua.
So to protect herself from them? Yeah, and there's also like a noise. I don't know if you're like rubbing up against the microphone or something like that.
What's this woman's name again, Dave?
Lori Ortolano.
And how does someone find out about this?
I just Google her name and read the media articles about her.
Do you know if she has like any kind of social media presence or a website? Because I'm very interested in like what exactly she is asking the assessor that they don't want to tell her.
I feel like she has a website, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay.
All right, we could probably maybe find it after the show, after the break or something like that, but that's really interesting. Yeah, a very open and transparent government we have. What is that, supposed to be Article 8 or something?
Yeah, and well, we don't have government. We have a municipal corporation acting as government. Dave, you might have heard me talk about this before, but real quick, if someone wants to internet search, Washington Post, Massachusetts State Police are not governments. You'll find an article where the Massachusetts ACLU did a right to know request, public records request, Freedom of Information Act request style document to the Massachusetts State Police. Massachusetts State Police refused to answer it, said they didn't have to. He took it all the way, the ACLU took it all the way up the chain to the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts. The attorney for the Massachusetts State Police, named guy named Jack Collins, who I actually used to know, he represented the state police and said that the Massachusetts State Police are made up of 52 law enforcement councils. They are not part of the government. They are not subject to anything the government is subject to. They're not subject to the Constitution. They're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act laws or statutes because they are no different than the American Heart and Lung and the American Cancer Society. They are law enforcement councils. And because they have a tax identification number that begins with, I think it's 098, don't quote me on that part, the IRS has said that they are just merely charities. And the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts agreed with them. And they're exactly right. We are not operating under governments. If it was a government, as described by the constitutions, you wouldn't have these courts that are not courts of record, like circuit court, district court, family court, and superior court. You would have actual, you know, supreme judicial courts, and they would maybe have sub-franchise of the supreme judicial courts where you have actual due process, which is not happening. And it's because everybody's is being assumed to be municipal corporations. It even says right in the, if you read the city charter for the city of Keene, New Hampshire, part one basically says that all inhabitants shall and remain as municipal corporations under this charter. So, like, then people got to understand that they are not inhabitants, and, you know, unless they are a municipal corporation under the city. The inhabitant might be the name in all capital letters or something, you know, the legal fiction, the you know, that deal. But
straw man,
whatever. But, you know, the bottom line is we're not dealing with governments. We're dealing with municipal corporations. DCYF is not a municipal, is not a government. Circuit court is not a judicial part of the Republican state of New Hampshire government. It is a, they are legal fictions. They are the part of the corporate franchise, and they're all bankrupt. This was all set up, they're all set up to collect bankruptcy debt. So we have a massive system of misunderstanding going on and mistakes being made constantly, and they're not respecting the rights of the people. And this is where Leah Cushman is being very, very proactive in, you know, the taking these redress of grievance from the people. And and this is why she was kicked off her committee by, you know, Sherman Packard. But go on, Dave. Do you know have any of the details on what she is asking for in her public records requests?
Well, I'm not very familiar with what she was doing, but by coincidence, I was looking up what she was doing today. I mean, I learned a little bit about it today or yesterday, and I was thinking about calling in about it, but I figured, you know, Jay's going to be able to call in about this. He's going to know all about that, because I think you were the one that posted the information. So I decided not to call about that because I needed you to handle it.
So I posted the information about Lori Ordinata, you thought?
No, you posted the information about Leah Cushman.
Oh, Leah, yes, yep. No, I was asking the Lori Ordinata in Nashua if you knew what specific questions she had or what specifically she was looking for in her right to know request from the city of Nashua's assessor's office.
Yeah, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have known because that was in the news back then, but I don't remember what she was asking for. It was just assessment records. That's the only part I remember.
What exactly is an assessment record?
That would be like when the town decides how much, or the city decides how much your property is worth. I think that's what they're talking about.
Okay, well, interesting. It's really weird when the government wants to keep information away from people.
So what happens is, according to their own statutory construction manual, this is for Florida anyways, there's a guy who's really into this. His name is Steve Emerson. If you internet search Steve Emerson, he's got a whole bunch of really bad audio talk shows that he does. If you can tolerate the bad audio, you'll see. He talks about how the statutory construction is that these assessments are supposed to have a signature from the assessor, and none of the assessment cards have this signature because the assessors won't sign them. So one of the things that you do a right-to-know request for is a certified copy of a signed assessment card, which they just won't give you an assessment card with a signature on it. And also the other right-to-know request that we're going to be doing for these towns is, they charge you a real estate tax, but nowhere on your property deed does it say the word real estate. Mm-hmm. It says a tract of land or a parcel of land. Mm-hmm. It does not say you bought real estate. So a simple public records request for the process and procedure that they rely on to convert your tract of land into real estate. Because you didn't buy real estate, you bought a tract of land, but they charge you real estate tax. And real estate is different than land. Basically, real estate is the land of a corporation.
What if you had a real estate agent? Does that matter?
It doesn't matter. Real estate agent, they don't even know what's going on. Most of these real estate agents are totally ignorant to any of this stuff, and they really don't even care. They're just like, these CPAs and accountants don't understand how to... You ask them, ask any CPA... if they've ever read a 1040 form, and they'll say, yes, I have, and say, okay, can you please tell me what 1040 part, United States Code Title 26, subsection 1040 part A is. And they can't tell you what part A is. And then they'll look up on the 1040 form, and it starts a part B. Part A is who is subject to pay income tax liability. So it's people living within the United States, United States citizens, and some kind of resident, whatever, alien status. I forget what it is. Mm-hmm. So, most people don't live in the United States because the United States is clearly defined as District of Columbia, territories and possessions. And most people are not United States citizens.
I can't imagine wanting to live there either. Just right. Side note, like, oh, I want to live next to these tyrants.
Yeah, the number one place in the world that's going to be targeted by all countries that hate us.
Yeah. Also, it's just like
disaster.
So much crime there.
And it's just so much evil is there. And there's so many bad people you're surrounded.
Yeah.
And that's why I call
my
it friend District of Criminals.
Lives in West Virginia, technically, but so close to the border that he goes to Virginia all the time. And he lives near, dang it, I forgot all of a sudden what it's called, but there's a county where all of the government people that live in D.C. mostly live in this county. It starts with an L. And he said that you just get like a bad vibe around there because of just how bad all the people are. There's just a bunch of lawyers and politicians.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting in the elevator at the state house with all of the with a couple of lobbyists.
Oh yeah.
I walk off the elevator and I say something like, you're definitely going to hell. I'll point, look right at one of these lobbyist guys. So I'm not riding an elevator with you. I don't want to be, on a train
in your
ride.
Karma.
I don't want to receive any part of your karma.
Funny. Anything else for us today, Dave Ridley?
Once there was a lobbyist that tried to stop me from testifying.
Whoa.
In front of a committee.
I was thinking about this today. So I think all testimony needs to be under oath. That's another thing Leah talked about in her Twitter space last night. And I'll make sure that before we're done here, we get this Twitter space posted. To the FTL
stuff. You can, like,
stuff.
Listen after the fact?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to be on Twitter to listen to it. In fact, I think that they're going to rip it and put it on Rumble also. Because actually, we had this Twitter space was scheduled to happen a couple of times, and it just wouldn't work on Leah's end. Hmm. Like as soon as Leah started talking, it wouldn't work. It was really a pain in the butt. But she talked about how there is people that lie constantly in front of these committees. So when they have a committee hearing, to hear a bill, people come up there and constantly lie. Lawyers constantly lie. I heard for House Bill 1012, which is the bill to basically make it so you can't charge a parent with child endangerment unless there was like an injury or harm happens to the child. This lawyer is named Brown. He works, Andrew Brown, I think is his name. I'm not sure if I got that right, but he works for Merrimack County Prosecutor's Office. Hmm. So he's someone as they are testifying in favor of the state, in favor of more power for the state, more money for the state, more authority for the state, and as a taxpayer you're paying for this. He's testifying just like a lobbyist.
Hmm.
And the way he testified was definitely most of it, if he was sworn under oath, he knew he couldn't say. So those guys should have to be held under oath. In fact, that's something that needs to be made a big stink about going forward, is these lobbyists can only testify under oath. And I think only and government agents and those representing, somebody is in the business of representing or lobbying. So the lawyer is there for the Merrimack County Prosecutor's Office. Anybody who holds a title of nobility or some government thing should have to be under oath every single time they are speaking in any testimony. And I think the only people that should have the ability to not be under oath are common people. That's it. Because that's where they're saying the oath is going to be, you know, something that is going to be intimidating for common people. And that's when Leo was like at the thing there, says, well, then if you don't want to be under oath, I will still let you testify. You can still testify.
Honestly, like, I probably wouldn't want to be under oath. I don't want any. I just like want the least amount. I would want to not have something that they would use against
me.
But
yeah, I agree.
I totally understand her point of view of why people, especially the government employees,
because this is an investigation. And I think her name's Baker was the one in that video who's objected to the oath.
Oh yeah, the Democrat.
She's like, oh, well, it's not like we're going to be prosecuting anybody. Yes, we are.
Hmm.
That is the only point of this. Somebody must stay after school for detention.
Mm-hmm.
There are social workers, there are administrators, there are attorneys in DCYF that need to lose their job,
mm-hmm.
that need to be stripped of their pensions, that need to be sued into oblivion.
Aren't Democrats supposed to be the ones against monopoly? Go ahead, nobody.
What they need is to water the damn tree.
Well, the Tree of Liberty.
Well, I'm going to pretend to not know what that means.
It must be watered from time to time.
Well, the thing about it is, I just think that Democrats claim to not like monopolies. And what we have is I don't know if there should be businesses competing for this either, but we have a monopoly on the force to take children away from their parents, and it is unresponsive to the people in any way. And these Democrats are the ones protecting that, and it's really hilarious to me.
Yeah, and the Democrats love public power monopolies. They love unions. They love the teachers union, which is a massive monopoly. Actually, the headlines on a newspaper I saw this morning at the local gas station said, "Town refuses to give budgets to school." Hell yeah, that's awesome. I don't know what town it was, but basically a lot of these increased budgets got voted down at the town elections. That was, I guess, past Tuesday.
Nice. And it's like they always increase because the Democrats always give a sob story about how they don't have enough money to educate the kids, but their test scores always continue to go down and down and down.
Right.
We talked about this yesterday.
Yep, they keep on lowering the bar. And something like 80% of the money that is being going to service, like the school district, for example, is going towards pension funds.
Hmm.
And the pension funds are unrealistic. The way they're structured, they're unrealistic. And because they're government pension funds, they're run by a bunch of thieves and criminals, because the pension funds don't need to make money on paper. They can siphon off them because the taxpayers have to keep these pension funds at a certain level. Like I said, the state of New Hampshire, the state of whatever, is going to point guns at the people that pay the taxes to make sure these pension funds stay afloat. And it's going to be interesting when it all falls apart. And I really hope it does fall apart financially, because this financial beast system is the only thing that's keeping the parasite in power.
Yep.
It really is. And so I do support all the people who want to that don't deserve welfare, get on welfare, milk that entire system. But I don't support it if you're going to, you know, let it, you know, degenerate you. And a lot of people who get on SSI, for example, that I've met, they just turn into piles of S almost instantly that I've known over the years. And
so, David, the person that, or the lobbyist that tried to keep you from testifying, was that in front of people? Or were they trying to do that in secret? I don't know that story.
So this would have been about 15 years ago. He just told me I wasn't allowed to testify unless I registered.
Huh.
Like, well, I was supposed to register as a lobbyist to testify.
Whoa. It seems like they've definitely been trained a lot since then. Like, they don't try to pull stupid stuff like that as much anymore.
Now, is that because, like, 15 years ago, common people weren't actively testifying at these committees, and then guys like you started doing it a lot, and these lobbyists just didn't know any better?
I think the lobbyists just didn't know any better. Mm. But with regard to what Rich was saying a minute ago, this business about tree watering, the tree gets stronger when you water it. And if you want this tree to get weaker, Google Erica Chenoweth.
Erica Chenoweth.
Well, the tree is liberty in the metaphor. And the quote is, "The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure."
Yeah, Rich, you're a chihuahua. You're just yip-yipping about how important it is to use violence against the government when that doesn't even work.
They use
violence against you, and I believe in self-defense.
So
yeah, it doesn't work like that, Rich. You want to downsize the government, you get three times the results by doing it peaceably.
So I believe that we are in a sort of a world of abundance. And at least my entire life, it's been abundance. I don't know anybody who starved to death. I don't think anybody here knows anyone that starved to death. We've been living in a world of abundance. And we're also in this information and this technology that we have all the tools that we don't need to use violence whatsoever. Violence begots violence. So if these guys come against you with violence and you respond with violence, they're just gonna literally napalm you.
And even if they don't just overcome you with power, one thing I think that would happen is, oh, well, you just lost the public relations because they have all the power to make themselves look like the good guys every time. That's what they do to Ian in the news. And if Ian was blasted, like, so I came out of the house blasting, they'd have even more ammo. Ironically, ammo to use against him and make him look like a bad guy. Thank you for the call, Dave Ridley. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. More Free Talk Live coming up. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. House Speaker Mike Johnson is facing mounting pressure to bring a comprehensive national security package to a vote. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell cautioned that withholding vital weapons for Ukraine has strengthened Russian President Vladimir Putin's resolve. Former President Trump has successfully posted bond in his civil defamation case in New York. His attorney, Alina Haba, filed the $91.63 million bond on Thursday, following approval by a judge earlier in the week. The bond shields Trump from any efforts by writer E. Jean Carroll to enforce damages while the case undergoes the appeals process. Delta Airlines is increasing its checked bag fee. The airline announced the fee for a first and second checked bag will go up by $5 for most domestic and short international flights. It'll cost travelers $35 for the first checked bag and $45 for the second checked bag. John Schaefer, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You control. You can call in with whatever is on your mind, and that number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And I'd like to thank Stephen Cryer, who is a silver level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. Being an amplifier means that he helps to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So thank you so much to Stephen. And if you would like to learn more about that, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Nobody.
And Jay, you wanted to give the people your website so they can find some of the stuff we've been covering tonight?
So yes, on my website, jaynoone.com. That's jaynoone.com. And at the top of my website, so if you guys want to check out these affidavits, we have the first one is New Hampshire DCYF Affidavit for Committee to Investigate. That is an affidavit. You click on that link, check that out. Also, a notice to all public servants of People's Wisdom Assembly and notice for corrective wisdom from the Supreme Court. That's a real good one to check out. Those I believe are in jot forms, and you can still, I believe, execute those, send those. That's fine. These are just some examples of affidavits. Then it says buy tickets to Anarchapulco, which, I mean, you could do through that link. Actually, what you'd really want to do
even
is,
for next year, it's already live.
You can, yeah, so there is some deals. I don't know if that link actually works for that, but you could buy the replays and watch Anarchapulco replays, which I really suggest to do.
Oh, like the speeches recorded?
Speeches, yep. It's like $150, and it's 5 days of the Anarchapulco. It's you know, it's like 7 hours a day of content. It's 35 hours of content, really awesome stuff, like David Avocado Wolf. He was probably one of my favorite speakers. Curtis Stone. I was actually on the same day as Curtis Stone. I was on the Sovereign Living Day, which was Thursday, day four of Anarchapulco. But anyways, and then the next one is, it says New Hampshire DYF. I got to message my internet guy and have him make that New Hampshire DCYF. Affidavit establishing maladministration. So this is the one where Chris Noyes, his affidavit to Sherman Packard, which should be read. This guy, he did some bad things. In fact, I would like to read a part of this affidavit right on the air. But then what we're going to do, as soon as we have the notice to go to Sherman Packard in the JOT form, I'm going to put that up on my website. I'm also going to post this stuff on my Twitter. JNoonManCamp is my Twitter handle. And then we will shortly have an affidavit that will be something that you can print up yourself. And you can utilize a boilerplate affidavit that, you know, gives the exhibit, you know, spells it out. Sherman Packard made a mistake. He's probably under, you know, extreme pressure from the parasite, you know, the state, the people who do not want their golden gooses being taken away. Can you imagine
one of them.
What the amount? So basically, many state pension funds will basically collapse. At least one of them will, from what I understand about pension funds. And this is just secondhand information to me. I'm not a forensics auditor. Or a forensics accountant. But some guys I have talked to who are working on this stuff and looking through the comprehensive annual financial report are like, oh, without the DCYF, family court, you know, Social Security Administration, Title 4D, you know, this pension fund would just pretty much collapse because it relies on all of its money from it, which would either mean it's going to cost taxpayers more or these judges and a bunch of state employees will no longer have a pension fund, which I'm fine with, too, because they're all thieves as far as I'm concerned. So
we don't owe them anything.
That's correct.
Nothing.
So in New Hampshire, this is how we're doing it. This is how we're setting the example. And we don't have to use any violence whatsoever. Now, these guys might retaliate with violence.
I know. I was thinking, what might they do if they lose their precious golden eggs? That's just crazy.
Well, just a threat of them.
I'll tell you, I love that you guys push back on me on this, because the person who used to do that was Ian, but they came and threw him in prison.
Yeah, I've never heard Dave Ridley get so sassy. It was interesting.
So anyways, well, Dave's a brave man, and yeah. Also Dave's not afraid to get sassy with nobody because, you know, nobody's, nobody, you could tell him, you know, something he doesn't want to hear, and he's still going to give you a hug when you're done talking to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Nobody loves Dave.
Right.
Nobody loves the hell out of Dave. Dave is a national treasure.
Oh, yeah. I love Dave.
So, and we are very fortunate that we got him here in New Hampshire. So anyways, this, but what happens, what do they do when you start coming after their golden goose, threatening to take it down and stop it? You try to disassemble the committee. You take the chairman off the committee, for example, to investigate this agency. This, we got to understand, what Leah Cushman has done is quite literally the first example in history that I'm aware of, that David Jose, who is a much better researcher than me, is very aware of. You guys should really, really check out David Jose and just listen to, like, one of his rumbles. Just do a rumble, David Jose search, and just listen to one of his things. Now, he's a little too preachy for some people. If you could just, you know, get that. I don't let that bother me. That's fine. But if you can, if that bothers you or upsets you, just ignore it. The guy is awesome. He's really laying the way. He's actually had death threats against him, from what I'm understanding. He has been, and he's really got into it because DCYF messed with him. 4 or 5 years ago.
He has kids.
Right. See, most people don't care until their ox gets gored. But if your ox gets gored and you're an addict Like, you're addicted to the internet, you're addicted to the television, you're addicted to the sports ball, you just, just really are concerned about you, just the distractions in your life and the bread and circus, or maybe you're just ill, or maybe you are addicted to hardcore substances like, you know, heroin or alcohol or something, then you don't fight back, you don't care. But the people who aren't going to tolerate it, the family men, you know, and it really helps if you're not divorced. This is why the DCYF and the culture of people in DCYF and the leftist parasite, you know, radical leftist, mentally ill people calling themselves Democrats are anti-family. You know, they support all the anti-family agendas like Black Lives Matter because families are super strong and super resilient, and you're not going to be able to get too far with families. When families are divorced and, you know, things aren't going right, and the lawyers on both sides are incentivizing and encouraging the mother and the father to use the children as essentially, you know, cannon fodder against the other parent, and all this kind of stuff, and a lie about the other parent. They're not paying attention to politicians. They're too busy bickering among themselves. I think that is just so heinous that there are, like, so many divided families that are fighting amongst themselves, where, like, you know, they have the greatest thing worth fighting for, which is their own family, their own children. But yet the system has them fighting against themselves. So this is why this whole system is all tyranny, and it's ripe for collapse. We're going to help it collapse. All we need to do is just, you know, just step to the side and not reach out and not grab it. We can also throw many, many proverbial punches at it with paperwork, with, you know, writing on paper. We don't need to shed any blood. When it comes to bloodshed, first off, when there's blood on the ground, it makes a mess and it stinks really bad. So I don't want to be having to deal with, you know, dead bodies. I don't want my children having to deal with dead bodies or gaping wounds. I don't want my friends and family shedding any blood. And even my enemy is just basically, you know, they're not even my enemy. There are a bunch of people that are suffering from mental illness. There are a bunch of people suffering from cult worship. The cult that they worship is the state. You know, I really feel bad for these mentally ill cultish people. That is really the issue. They're not actually our enemies. In fact, if it wasn't for the state, they'd generally be all right people. They're just in this cult mentality.
Okay, I got to push back on that a little bit, because, you know, the people who put Ian in prison are his enemy. They are my enemy.
He wouldn't say that.
I agree with you.
No, Ian wouldn't say that. That's the thing. Like, and I was actually
Ian wouldn't, but he's not allowed to speak anymore.
So one thing about what me and Ian think about the literal people who are most responsible for putting him in jail, the jurors, is that they were highly manipulated, weren't given enough information, and wanted to go home and have Christmas. And then the people who put the most effort into putting him into jail, the prosecutors, I could have ended up like that with just two or three different life decisions. I just don't consider them my enemy. I think that they're
And in Ian's case,
see, I would say that the people least responsible for putting Ian in prison are the jurors. The people who are most responsible for putting him in prison are the people who denied the jurors an education, the people who forced them into the public schools where they could be propagandized for 12 years, the same people who force people into the public schools where they are propagandized into joining the military and giving their lives to make some scumbag rich.
So, coming back around to this here, the one thing I want to get out is, I don't believe I stop me if I already said this, but the next hearing, DCYF investigative hearing, is March 25th. That's a Monday. That would be 2 Mondays from, basically like 10 days from now.
And can people online testify?
Probably no. But you can watch it, stream it live online. You can actually email them. I got to get the email for this.
But if you want to testify,
committee,
you have to end up at the legislative
office.
Yeah,
go there
building.
And please go there and speak. Mm-hmm. And even if it didn't happen to you, you know of somebody, you can testify under oath, which is So, which is very valuable that you observe this with a friend, with a coworker, with a family member. I would really encourage people to come in there and say, I know this individual who is scared. They will not come here because they are scared. They are so frightened. There are so many people I talk to, they're like, I'm not going to testify against DCYF. They will make my life miserable. Hmm. They are scared. I know people who won't even sign like these affidavits and these notices when I'm trying, I'm encouraging people to sign them. They're like, I'm not putting my name on that. I'm not being made a target. Like all the Russian people in the Free Stater community, none of those guys will sign any of these affidavits because they are they basically know that in Russia, if you put your name on pen to paper and swore under an oath that you did, that the government's doing something bad or wrong, you just got black bagged.
Not only that, but like
Russia.
And anybody who's here that's from another country is kind of here on the invitation of the United States.
That's
and
true too.
I could see them being afraid to do
March
something like
25th.
That.
It is the Legislative Office Building, Room 203. So the work session is from 9 a.m. to 11, which you can sit there and just listen. And then the public hearing starts at 11 a.m. And come there and testify and demand to be put under oath. Because your testimony is useless unless it is under oath. And these guys want useless testimony, so nothing gets done as usual. And let's call them out for that. Like, I don't know who this new chair is going to be in this committee, if they're going to be, an establishment goon. I don't know who appoints a new chair, or if there is just going to be a committee of whoever's left, minus the chair. And this will be in Concord. And March 25th, please make it a point to come, do this. This is a first time in history this is actually happening where, actual testimony, sworn testimony, is being brought into a court. The House of Representatives is the general court. It is the court that is going to judge the other branches of government. This is what the House of Representatives' primary purpose to do is checks and balances. Make sure that the executive branch and the judicial branch are not violating the people's rights.
So what would be
that
the next thing? Like, so the one lady on the committee said, we're not going to prosecute anybody. Well, what would be the next thing if you wanted to bring charges against someone? Who would have to do that? The committee itself? Or?
Oh, no. So, I don't know if there would be quote-unquote charges. Like, that's really a statutory thing. Maybe, actually. And the statutory laws do apply to the DCYF people and all the judges because they're part of that statutory system. I think some kind of private attorney general citizen is really going to have to do it. But there is a remedy within the legislature to, from what I understand, to defund these agencies, to fire people within the agencies. And another thing that we have to do, and this is a campaign we got to work on, is we have to get every one thing that's really stupid about New Hampshire legislature is you have to like get a unanimous consent from the legislature in order to subpoena someone to testify. So I want to subpoena two people to testify. I would like to see subpoenaed for this particular committee, and that is Ross McLeod, Melissa Coombs, Colleen Subritz. I forget what the other couple people's name is.
But they all work in DCYF, the Child Protective Services.
Yeah, Ross McLeod is an attorney that he does DCYF cases, but he's paid by the Attorney General's office, so he's not part of the DCYF budget. He is also probably a participant in the judicial pension fund that gets, that the DCYF is the golden goose for. He meddles in a lot of stuff. He's really not a good guy at all. And then you have, and the other one I mentioned, Melissa Coombs, is a social worker that, perjured herself a few times in some affidavidets.
She's the one that's in the video where she was at your property and you were telling her that, this paper doesn't tell me to do anything. And she's just mad. She's gross.
Right. And Ross McLeod's the attorney that submitted this, contempt order to family court, and he knows darn well that he cannot submit, that it is essentially has no authority to submit these orders. It is clear maladministration what he's doing, because a year prior to this, J.R. Hole made that very clear to him, J.R. Hole's attorney. In fact, this is going to be part of my testimony on the 25th. I'm going to talk about how J.R. Hole made it very clear to Ross McLeod in an email that you can't put a contempt charge against somebody unless they are named as a contemptor. And the assessment doesn't name the parents as a contemptor, because I had not stepped in any of their judicial, in their jurisdictional traps with DCYF. I've never had any agreement with them. They never, you know, were able to coerce me to contract with them. In fact, I told them I reject your offer to contract with me. So the, and then the other one is Colleen Subritz, who is a supervisor on DCYF. And if I got these great emails between her and the chief of police, and she's ill. She's mentally ill. I mean, in the email, she tells the chief of police, hey, you guys can't do this assessment. I know that the court order says that the assessment can be done by the police, but it doesn't mean, you know, what's to be done. Like, they don't even know what they're talking about.
Wow.
And what it all comes down to is they just want the money. It's all a huge money thing.
And children. They want the children.
Well, because they're very valuable. And evil, demonic entities, which, I mean, I'm not saying I believe in them, but these people certainly act like they exist.
Mm-hmm.
The purest energy is of children. So if you can do evil, diabolical thing to children, there's a lot of evil doers out there. There's a lot of this occult worship that uses all kinds of, symbolism and numerology and all this crazy stuff that I don't really understand.
Don't have to believe in it if they do.
The problem is we have these cult people who believe in it. Look at Bohemian Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the videos where you got the guys, you know, that were digging the tunnels under New York City. There's like these videos where these guys are like simulating like beating a child to death that's hanging from a rope.
Wait, it's very those gross. People, ew, that's disgusting. So wait, the people that were digging under the synagogue?
Yes. Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was some video where they're like, it's these guys, I don't know, maybe they're all dressed up in costumes with their, like, you know, their particular clothing and style that they wear, and their beards and their braids and their curls. And I know a whole bunch of those guys from upstate New York. I think they're all great people. Don't have any, feeling like the guys I know, like, participate in this kind of child sacrifice nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely, like, you know, a big suggestion out there that they do, that some of them do, that some people do that. But there are people that are, well, how does 800,000 children go missing, 790,000 children go missing in 2021? I don't know how many were recovered, but like, and then you have all, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of children that are missing, migrant children are coming into the U.S.
Oh, yeah, it makes no sense. Oh, we're gonna allow this family to come over the border. Then we're gonna take their children and put them in cages, and their parents have no idea where they are.
Right, and like this one thing that Trump was doing, the Trump administration was doing that, Biden put a stop to, is when some random dude would come across the border with kids, they would say, "Okay, this is your son. We're gonna do a quick DNA test to see if it's your son." Which, I mean, I'm not really interested in the government harvesting DNA, but boy, on the surface, if you want to, like, make sure that they're not just trafficking some children that they picked up somewhere,
mm-hmm.
That's like a pretty good way to tell. Like, you know, if I had, you know, my kids, which, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I see a lot of you and your children, you know, that, you know me. But I wouldn't expect for some guy that's like having to deal with hundreds of people a day, that's like a Border Patrol agent, to be able to like make that decision and have a clear conscience. But okay, we're going to, you know, swab a little saliva out of your cheek, a little saliva out of your cheek, you know, the dad's cheek and the kid's cheek, and you guys are going to go hang out here in this cell for, you know, this waiting room for a little while till this test is done. That seemed kind of reasonable. And you know, I don't like government having that authority or power, but if you're looking to come to this country and get asylum, so that's what the Trump administration was doing. And, like, the Trump was, you know, I don't really like Trump. He was just the least worst president of my lifetime. All the presidents are bad. But, you know, now they're just, you know, the Biden administration is just letting them come in. And, you know, there's all kinds of like conspiracy theories out there about like, adrenochrome, which is apparently a real thing, a hormone that's extracted from, you know, children, young children are being tortured. And, you know, if there is a big taste, a big desire for this adrenochrome or adrenochrome, however you say it, you know, then it would make sense. You would need to harvest a lot of children to do that. And it's getting pretty dangerous for pedophiles in the United States because, well, there's a lot of pushback. And people are really making it a point to watch their kids.
And you don't even have to be an underground, like, Illuminati pedophile if you just become a foster parent who the DCYF hands you over kids to all the time, and then you are raping them at a high rate because a bunch of the foster parents are doing that. Not that all of them are.
Yeah, that's definitely a big cause of action. And even, like, you know, today, you know, traveling into the studio, I was listening to some local radio, and it was like NPR or some garbage, and they were saying, and they were interviewing all these people about how the biggest problem that we have in America is racism. And it's like, racism isn't even an issue. The fact that you can be called a racist because, you know, you don't agree with Obamacare, or you can be called a racist because you wouldn't, like, make babies with someone who's not your same race, you know, and then you're compared to Hitler, who might have actually been a racist if he actually did what history says he did. I don't know. I wasn't there, and history is pretty much all a lie. But the term racism has basically doesn't mean anything anymore because it's overused and abused, and it basically has no more value because they've, you know, destroyed the definition of it. But the real problem we have is the child trafficking. Like you have the radical left, you know, and left media, like, poo-pooing that, you know, documentary Save the Children, you know, talking about all of the child trafficking. And 80-some-odd% of the children that are trafficked in the United States come from the Child Protection Service industrial complex. They are in that system. And when Child Protection Services has a child that runs away or gets away or goes missing, they don't report runaways. So it's, and everything's sealed. That's another one of these things with the family court. The fact that they're sealing all of this stuff, it's not a court of record. And the people are guaranteed a court of record. Ian Freeman should be exonerated from his charges. That should all be dropped because he was never brought before a court of record, and he has a right to court of record. That court never had due process of law. That prosecutor never had standing to begin with.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live, and you can call 603-283-6160 to bring up whatever is on your mind.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.